Good evening. Tonight we're going to do a Bible study on four ways the world drastically changed when Jesus died for our sins. Open your Bibles tonight to John chapter 19, and we'll begin by reading verses 1 through 18. Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him, and the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they put on him a purple robe, and said, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they smote him with their hands. Pilate therefore went forth again, and said unto him, "Behold, I bring him forth to you, that you may know that I have found no fault in him." Then came Jesus forth, wearing a crown of thorns, and a purple robe. And Pilate saith unto him, "Behold the man." When the chief priests therefore and the officers saw him, they cried out, saying, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Pilate said unto them, "Take ye him and crucify him, for I have found no fault in him." The Jews answered him, "We have a law, and by our law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God." When Pilate therefore had heard that saying, he was more afraid, and went again into the judgment hall, and saith unto Jesus, "Whence art thou?" But Jesus gave him no answer. Then said Pilate unto him, "Speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee, and have power to release thee?" Jesus answered, "Thou couldst have no power at all against me, except it were given to thee from above. Therefore, he that delivereth me unto thee hath the greater sin." And from thenceforth Pilate sought to release him, but the Jews cried out, saying, "If thou let this man go, thou art not Caesar's friend. Whosoever maketh himself a king speaketh against Caesar." When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus forth, and sat down in the judgment seat in the place that is called the pavement, but in the Hebrew tongue, Gabbatha. And it was the preparation of the Passover, and about the sixth hour, and he saith unto the Jews, "Behold your king." But they cried out, "Away with him! Away with him! Crucify him!" Pilate saith unto them, "Shall I crucify your king?" The chief priest answered, "We have no king but Caesar." Then delivered he him therefore unto them to be crucified. And they took Jesus and led him away, and he bearing his cross went forth unto a place called the place of the skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him and two other with him, one on the either side and Jesus in the midst. Let us pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this time we have together tonight. We thank you, Lord, that you have brought us together to study your word tonight and find out how the world changed when Jesus died on the cross. Lord, we ask you that you will open our eyes, open our hearts tonight to receive your word. For it's in Jesus' name I ask it all. Amen. It's easy to say that Jesus changed the world, but let's go a step further and identify four ways the world drastically changed when Jesus died for our sins. Number one, Jesus opened the door for access to the Father. That's the first way the world changed. Jesus, the door was closed because of Adam's sin in the Garden of Eden. Jesus opened that door for access to the Father. Mark chapter 15, verse 37 through 38. And Jesus cried with a loud voice and gave up the ghost, and the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. The most important thing Jesus did was die for our sins, which opened the door for our salvation and opened the door to heaven, to our Heavenly Father. Before Jesus died, you had to have a high priest to go behind the veil to pray for your sins and bring your sins to God for Him to forgive them once a year. But when Jesus died on the cross, our sins were forgiven and we had access to the Father because the veil was rent. Listen, prior to Jesus dying for our sins, our relationship with the Father was broken and maybe incomplete is a better word. If you recall, when Adam and Eve were removed from the garden, there was an angel placed there which blocked their access to the garden. Even when God established the temple, access to His presence was only granted to the high priest, and even that could only happen once per year. One of the ways the world drastically changed when Jesus died for our sins is that He gave us access to the Father and the presence of God. Not only can we approach God personally, but we can also approach Him without guilt because our sins have been cleansed because of the blood of Jesus. We no longer must hide like Adam did, but we can stand boldly in God's presence because of the sacrifice of Jesus. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 through 22 says this, "Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which He hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, His flesh. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water." Secondly, Jesus opened the door for Gentiles to come into the fold. Do you realize that before Christ died on the cross, we as Gentiles were separated from God? We were a foreign people. We did not know God in an intimate way. Only the Jews could go into the temple to worship Almighty God. When God called Abraham, He made him a promise saying that all nations of the earth would be blessed through him. This promise was fulfilled in the person of Jesus Christ because He opened the door for the Gentiles to come in, which ultimately was God's plan all along. Salvation was not held within a nation, but salvation was available to all nations through the blood of Christ. Through His going to the cross, He provided salvation for everyone. That's why Jesus told His disciples to go into all the world with the message because it was available to everyone. When you read the book of Acts, you see there is no distinction between the Jews and the Gentiles. They both were able to receive salvation and to receive the Holy Spirit. This is one of the ways the world changed when Jesus died for our sins, because it allowed salvation to come for all people everywhere. Romans chapter 5, verses 17 through 21 says this, "For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered, that by the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord." The third way the world changed when Jesus died for our sins, His death paid for our sins, and His resurrection changed the world. I'll say that again. His death paid for everyone's sins, and his resurrection changed the world. While Jesus' death was necessary to pay the price for our sins, it is his resurrection that justifies us in the sight of God. As the song says, living he loved me, dying he saved me, buried he carried my sins far away, rising he justified freely, one day he's coming, O glorious day. I would even present the argument that the world didn't change because he died. It changed because he rose again. Had Jesus lived and died and stayed dead, he would have been like every other person who had came before him. However, he didn't stay dead, which makes him unlike any other person that has come before or after him. Paul said it best in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 17 through 18. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain. You are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If it had not been for Christ's resurrection, we would not be resurrected. If it had not been that Christ raised from the dead, we would not be justified in the sight of God. Because there is a resurrection, it forces everyone to address who this Jesus really is. How you choose to answer the question sets the stage not only for the rest of your earthly life, but for your eternity in heaven or hell as well. Fourthly, the fourth thing that Jesus did was we got to see God's love in action. When Jesus came, he gave us physical representation of the invisible God. John 1, verse 18, no man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, hath declared him. He made the truth of the triune God something we could understand better. The other thing he did was give us a physical representation of how much God truly loves us. Romans chapter 5, verse 6 through 11 says this, for when we were without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God, notice this, commendeth his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, notice this, not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have received the atonement. Ain't that great? Ain't that great that God loved us enough to send his Son? I'll tell you, it's the greatest thing that has ever happened in this world. Perhaps this is the greatest way the world changed when Jesus died for our sins, because we saw God's love in action. Jesus represented the mercy of God, the grace of God, the power of God, and most importantly, listen, the person of God, because he was God in the flesh. Prior to Jesus' sacrifice, there was not one demonstration of God's love for humanity that we could use to prove how much God loved us. Yes, God covered sin, provided for the nation of Israel, brought deliverance, and performed many miracles on their behalf. As great as that is, there is no greater act than Jesus dying that proved God's love for you and I. That's why scriptures like these make more sense considering Jesus' sacrifice for our sin. Before Christ died for you and I, you were dead in trespasses and sins in which you used to live when you followed the ways of the world. You were controlled by the god of this world, Satan himself, the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who is now at work in the children of the disobedience. All of us. Doesn't matter how good you are. Doesn't matter how good you think you are. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. But because of God's great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in trespasses and sin. Now, I want to give you some final thoughts. It's about the one. When you consider the way Jesus changed the world, perhaps it's the way of transformation that is most amazing. He didn't lead a political revolution. He didn't lead a military campaign. Nor did he chase the fame of the crowds around him. While we often would address the many, he never stopped caring about the one. The change we have seen in the world is simply the result of Jesus changing one life at a time, one heart at a time. As important as it is to remember God so loved the world, it is equally important to realize that God so loved you personally. Listen, if you had been the only person on the planet, Christ would have loved you. If you had been the only person in this world, Christ would have still went to the cross to save your sin. That's how important you are to Christ. Every salvation experience is an individual encounter with the true and living God. May we never forget the hope found in Christ and realize that every person we see is a person that Jesus gave his life for. The hope started changing the world 2,000 years ago, and it has not stopped since. If you're here and you're lost tonight, he can change your life as well. All you need to do is submit to the calling of the Holy Spirit, confess your sins to Jesus, and accept him as Lord and Savior. It's that simple. Listen, my friends, Christ loves you more than anything you could ever imagine. His love for you is never ending. He loved you so much that he went to the cross to save you from your sins. Let me tell you something, my friend. These four things that Jesus did changed the world for good. We'll talk about them once again as we close this message. I want you to remember how he changed the world. Jesus, going to the cross, dying for your sins, opened the door for access to the Father. Without him, we would not be able to go to God personally. But because he went to the cross, he opened that door, he opened that bridge, he made a way for us to go to God one-on-one personally. That, my friend, was a miracle indeed. That wall had been put up because of Adam's sin, but Jesus tore down that wall. He tore down that barrier between us and God. That, my friend, is so very important. The second thing Jesus did, he opened the door for everyone to come into the fold. Listen, before Jesus came into the world, he was always looking to save people from their sins. And this is what we need to understand. Jesus Christ himself made a way for even the Gentiles, even the Samaritans, even those people that were cast out by the Jews, he made a way for them to come into the fold. Jesus never rejected anyone. He welcomed sinners, he welcomed saved people, he welcomed everyone to come into the fold. And that's the way Jesus changed the world. I want to tell you, my friend, without Jesus, we would have been still out in the cold. Without Jesus, the Gentiles would not have an opportunity to be saved and have a relationship with God. Listen, my friend, thank Jesus that He died on the cross so that you might be made righteous in the eyes of God. The third thing we talked about, His death paid for our sins, and His resurrection changed the world. Listen, my friend, without Jesus' resurrection, we would not be resurrected. Without His resurrection, we would not be justified in the sight of God. Without His resurrection, we wouldn't have no hope of ever coming into a relationship with God. It took His death, burial, and resurrection. And that's what you have to believe in to be saved. You have to believe in His death, His burial, and His resurrection. Those three things are necessary to be saved. You must believe in those, because without one or the other, you cannot be saved. You must believe in those three things, for it is vital that we know and believe that Jesus, who went to the cross and gave His life for our sins, meant for us all to be His children. The fourth thing that Jesus did, how He changed the world, we got to see God's love in action. God's love is unconditional. He loves you even if you're lost. He loves you even if you don't know Him. He loves you so much that He sent His Son to die for you. God changed the world by sending His Son to die on the cross. How did He do this? By sending Him to the cross. By Him dying for our sins. While we, listen very carefully, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. Christ died for all of us. If you think you are too bad to be saved, remember, when you were without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. God commendeth His love towards us in that while you and I were yet sinners, Christ went to the cross to die for us. Even though we were separated from God, He still made a way for us to be saved. Listen, before Christ died for you, you were dead in trespasses and sin. You may be alive, but you are still dead in your trespasses and sin. You don't realize that you are born lost. You are born lost without hope of ever seeing heaven. But if you accept Jesus Christ, His death on the cross, you can be saved today. Because we are born sinners, we're born into sin, and only through Jesus Christ can we be made holy and righteous. Listen, my friend, it's all about the One. It's all about Jesus. It's all about Him going to the cross, dying for our sins, and making a way for us to enter in to heaven. That, my friend, is what I want you to understand tonight. Jesus died for you. He died for everyone on the planet. You may think you're too bad. You may think you're too lost. You may think that you can't be saved. But God wants to save you tonight. He wants to come into your life and let Jesus take your sins away and wash you clean, so clean that you're made righteous in the sight of God. I want you to understand that. As we close this message, I want you to understand that Jesus changed the world when He died for you. Jesus changed the world when he came and gave his life on Calvary so that we might be made righteous. Let us pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity we have to come together tonight to teach your word. And Father, we ask you, Lord, that you would take those that don't know you, convict their hearts, and let them come to the Lord that is waiting for them to save them from their sins. Lord, help those that have strayed away come back to you, and help those that don't have any hope in this life understand that you can give them hope and peace and grace they need to get through life. Lord, lead us, guide us, and direct us, Lord, and bless this invitation. For it's in Jesus' name I ask it all. Amen.